Hey there, Hoops fans. How you doing? It's your boy, Jonathan Macri, with you for another episode of NBA Takedown. I am joined today by my esteemed colleagues, friends, panelists, neither of whom run a Muse account, or at least if they do, they aren't copping to it.
Saddest people on earth.
Jeff, that was, I could feel the vitriol in going flowing through your veins as you were talking about this on yesterday's show on KFS. It was great.
Yeah, bro. I won't even tank this show with my diatribe about how
that's not taking
the monetization of social media through blue checks has allowed for the worst type of people to try to control the thought ecosystem with the worst takes you have ever seen on this planet and actively play both sides, and fan bases just fall into the loop because we just want to get off jokes and slander in general, and we don't see the grift. There's no king under those three cards. I hate to tell you, they're spinning. They're twirling. You might see that the card on the far left is the king of jacks, but no, it's a fucking two of hearts. And it's always going to be a two of hearts if you keep buying into that bullshit.
And if you find a card with the king of jacks, that lets you know that that deck is bullshit and you got.
King of jacks is crazy. King of spades. You out thinking jack of spades. King of spades.
Sean, if someone forced, Sean with a W, hello. If someone forced you to run a Muse account with fidelity, like you really had to run it. Mm-hmm. Not just be like, not fuck around with it. Like, who would you run it for?
Does it have to be a current NBA player or team?
Do they have music? Is there like a Bob Pettit Muse? Oh my God, that's what I want to do. I want to start Bob Pettit Muse. That's perfect for me. Yes, I found my calling in life.
Bob Pettit.
You can pick anyone you want, Sean.
I would run a Muse account for Dirk Nowitzki, and I would spew the gospel of Dirk Nowitzki across the entire landscape of social media. Like, that is one where I could become the worst person in the world that Jeff is describing. I could absolutely do that for Dirk Nowitzki. Like, simply just like, and my first tweet would be Dirk Nowitzki greater than son Kevin Garnett. And I would just put my hands up.
I actually don't think that's a hot take. I just typed in literally Dirk Nowitzki Muse and nothing comes up. I mean, it's there for you, Sean.
There you go.
See? Dirk Muse.
But that's the, you know what? This is a million-dollar idea we're sitting on. There's all these Muse accounts out there that we could start based on all these former players.
Yes.
Come on, Jeff.
Like, what? Literally just once a week, just post like Dirk Nowitzki hitting a turnaround 1-foot-3 over Kevin Garnett. Just be like, told you.
You know what's the best Muse account?
What?
Stat Muse. The original is the best Muse account.
But that's actually kind of useful because they have good stuff.
I mean, imagine if every player had a Centel.
Well, that would, yeah, that's,
that's,
I mean,
like, that's Muse, like the Muse accounts.
That's what it is.
So
there's some nerd behind a cartoon picture of, what's my guy's name that plays on the Raptors and
Mogbo.
He's in his 13. Garrett Temple.
I thought you were going like Jamal Shedd.
Alexi Shved Muse.
I will say this. So I actually went to, I was like, you know, are there NBA teams? Are there retired NBA players with Muse accounts? And I figured there'd be one for Kobe Bryant because that would be the crowd.
There's probably five Kobe Muse.
So I typed in Kobe Muse and I did not find one, but I did find a Muse account for Jacoby Walter.
Isn't he a wide receiver on the Jaguars?
Stop it.
Or is that Jacoby Myers?
It doesn't make a difference. Oh God. Listen, we're going to sit on this one because I'm telling you, seven figure idea at least, minimum. Let's get started with the takeoff. We're going to turn this into a segment for every show where we each get off one take from either the previous night's games or just some take that we have in my mind. I'm going to start us off. You ready for this one?
Let's go.
The Jazz are the most fun bad team in the league.
Yes.
I like it.
Almost top 10 in scoring. I looked earlier this morning. I should have written this down. I think they're 11th in scoring. Their defense is a fucking tire fire, which means they get every, if your team is playing the Jazz or any team is playing the Jazz, you're going to get a fun offensive game from the other team. And the Jazz now have like three legit players you want to watch. Markkanen's obviously playing like an all-star. You got George, who was, I think, 25 in the first half against the Lakers last night. And then you got the kid from Rutgers who, you know, will throw down a dunk every now and then and is not very good, but he's fun. So, yeah, that's my take.
I've watched portions of last two Jazz games. I'm not sitting down watching 48 minutes of Jazz basketball, especially since their games start at 10 p.m. Eastern. But yeah, they're just fun. Like, freaking Lauri Markkanen getting 4-point plays and Keontae George game winning threes and all that. They may be the good bad team.
Yeah, Keontae George was going crazy on the Lakers. Yo, he was going crazy. He was trying to run them out of the gym on his own back, bruh.
But on a serious, like when there's a young player and it's like, the night's not about you, kid. It's about LeBron James. And if it's not about LeBron, it's about Luka. And if it's not about Luka, it's about Austin Reaves. For him to come up in that first half and be like, no, you know who's tonight's going to be about? Tonight's going to be about me. Like, if I was a Jazz fan, I'd be like puffing my chest out this morning.
Absolutely. Like, there's like an all time example of that where, in fact, the night that LeBron broke the record, I think OKC won that game. When he broke the scoring record,
they lost the game, and I know that because I read it in your own book. Yes, they lost the game.
Yeah. So I'm that's just a sign of like, you're not letting the moment get too big for you. You're not getting overwhelmed by like these forces of things like that. So yeah, shout out to the Jazz.
Jeff, you got a take?
I was thinking about it. You know what? I got one from that same game.
I love it. Go for it.
LeBron James is going to be the reason Austin Reaves does not make the All-Star game.
Hold on. That's like 5D chess. LeBron James is... So you think LeBron is going to make the All-Star team?
Give me the odds. Give me the odds. If you are close to plus money,
for that exact post of those odds.
Bro, you will think it was M2/Mansion in 2013. The way I would throw money in the air, if you give me anything close to plus money on LeBron making the All-Star team. All he has to do is average... What 20 games until February? Like if he's healthy for January and February, even if he's not, the fans are voting him in.
Jeff,
the players are more than likely voting him in. He's got the votes.
Jeff, this is my bad.
I've seen enough.
No, it's my bad. I asked the wrong question. What number of games
is crazy. Yeah.
What number of games would LeBron have to play to not get voted in by the fans? And is the over under on that number of games 0.5, like 0.5?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's and I'm taking the under. I think if he has a possibility to be healthy for the All-Star game, they're going to vote him in.
I don't even think.
If he's on the ballot, they're going to vote him in.
Yeah, that's the thing. If he's on the ballot, that was a dumb question by me.
No,
it was a stupid question. It's okay. I copped to it. It's fine.
But remember, and you alluded to it, John, under the old system where the fans pick the starters, he's a shoo-in.
Mm-hmm. Don't they still hold on? Am I living under a rock? Do they?
Yes.
I thought
yeah.
the fans still.
No, you're it's living three, under a rock.
It's oh, prong. It's the yes, that's
fans,
right.
But it's players and
I know you knew media. That. Right?
No, I didn't know, but it's still 50% fan vote.
Yeah, yeah.
So
you would need a majority of the media to not vote him in, and you would need a majority of the players to not have him on the ballot
or
vote him third in the front court.
The players are gonna have him in the top five if he plays zero games. Fans are going to have him. Who's going to get more votes than him in the West? Maybe Wemby?
That's going to be a good
for the world vote.
Yeah, that's going to be a good
check.
Remember, it's a world vote. It's not just a U.S.
You know
vote.
What? So, okay, I'll take back my take back. It's not a stupid question. All right, but that's a good one. Still, so now that I'm fully wrapping my head, see 5D chess. I'm wrapping my head fully around your point. That's a good one.
Because that would mean, like, LeBron and Luka are in the All-Star game. I don't care what you say. They are there. Yeah. They will be there no matter what. Austin Reeves, they would have to get three. I'm going to tell you right now, they would have to get three. So OKC, I think, and at some point, when I get off my ass, I'm a record my first time All-Stars. I think Chet, I don't know what you're doing in February, mid-February, book a flight to L.A., Cause you will be there. Shea will be there. At this point, AJ Mitchell, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing mid-February. You might be there too. They can mess around. If they stay at this clip, they could mess around and get three. Or it may be one of those like, all right, y'all are omnipotent, but it's only two of y'all going. So that means you're going to send two Thunder and three Lakers?
Jeff.
I mean, it's LA, but.
Million-dollar idea. Hold on. I really got to stop saying this stuff out loud. They've already screwed around with the All-Star format with this international domestic crap. Just have the defending NBA champion be the fourth team on All-Star weekend. And have the... could you imagine... Just picture it. We're going into All-Star weekend. Two domestic teams of All-Stars, the Thunder and an international team. Are you telling
them, do you consider them All-Stars?
Who?
The whole team is All-Stars?
No.
If they come back as a defending champion?
Forget about it.
So it's like the Super Cup.
It's like
the Super Cup.
It's like the thing they did last year. Those rookie G League kids weren't All-Stars. Like, yo, get your ass out there.
But then it becomes the question of the integrity of sharing the All-Star stage with people who were voted in as All-Stars.
No, they won the NBA title. Their reward.
I hear you. But then as an owner, would you want your whole team out there playing an exhibition game?
Well, if you get money for it.
Yes.
And you know who likes money? You know who likes money? The owner of the Oklahoma City Thunder.
That is also true. That's why I said it's not a complete, I don't think it's completely crazy.
And give the players a bonus.
I just look at the limb. But now that I'm thinking about it with my take, Luka and LeBron are probably starting. That's his path. That's Austin Reeves' path. They both have to start. And then the coaches are going to vote Reeves in. That's his path. That's his only path.
You know what? I'm gonna actually skip ahead because we were going to do this in a bit. But since you just brought it up as your take, because we're going to talk about the Lakers in a minute. Here are the Lakers' next 11 games. You ready for this? This is also part of Austin Reeves' path. Jazz, Clippers, Mavs, Pels, Suns, Raps, Celtics, Sixers, Jazz, Clippers, Suns before they face the Rockets on Christmas. They will, and that's not counting the in-season tournament. Obviously, we don't know who they're going to play in the in-season tournament. They will be favored in every one of those 11 games.
And so, ironically, to Sean's original point from last show on Monday, their toughest path in that whole thing you said is the Eastern Conference swing.
Let's talk about it.
With the Celtics and the Raptors, at the way they're currently playing,
they're both playing well. I'm just saying, part of the path for Reeves is the Lakers are. I mean, the Lakers could be like 20-6. That's part of the. Maybe that's part of it. The All-Stars
there's a path. If he doesn't make it, it's going to be because of LeBron. Not like negative. I'm not saying in a negative way. I'm just saying.
Well,
are they going to get three All-Stars?
They would have to be. How wild would it be if they were like fourth in the West and the three teams ahead of them didn't get three and they got
three? That's what I'm saying. Like at that point, it's like, do the coaches right or wrong?
Listen, the All-Star voting this year or the selection process, whatever it is going to be just the.
It's going to be the same though. It's going to be the same. Like they said, it's going to go down the way it's always gone down.
Yes.
And then after they have the 24, depending on the weight between U.S. and foreign-born players, low-key, if they don't have enough foreign-born, that might be a path for guys like OG.
No, I think it's going to go the other way. I think you're going to get like 10. I think it's going to be like 10, 11 foreign.
Get their, what is it, 8? It's going to be 8
foreign? It's just 8. And you like there's already... 8 like almost slam dunks before we even get to guys like OG and Franz and
right. But then it depends on there's a lot of factors going into this because they're not going to hinder you because you're.
But
they're not going to hinder you based on where you were born.
No,
they're not going to restrict you.
But
unlike other places.
What could you be referring to?
It was hanging, bros.
It was low. Yeah.
I gotta throw it there.
It's gonna be the probably the most competitive all-star, whatever you want to call it, in a long time because you got all these guys. We haven't even really talked about the injuries, but all these guys across the league are injured left and right. So other guys are gonna be stepping up, other guys are gonna be compiling stats. But like the guys that are like Giannis is still getting in. Giannis might not play for whatever 2 weeks. Wemby's getting in. Wemby's not gonna play for what, a month? I don't know what it is. All right, Sean, hot take before we, or your, not doesn't have to be hot, your take before we move on.
Let's hold off on the coronation of the Detroit Pistons as the next great super team.
Today of all days, that's your take?
Yes, that's my take.
That's a take.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Pistons have won 11 in a row, and listen, you can't control who is in front of you, but this is the teams that who were in front of them during that 11-game win streak. Hawks, Pacers, Sixers, Bulls, Wizards, Sixers, Nets, Jazz, Grizz, Mavericks, Magic. So before we, to quote Bill Parcells, before we put them in Canton, or I guess in this case, Springfield, let's settle down. Let's settle.
To Sean's point, I think people are more marveling over the fact that Detroit has won 11 games as opposed to, well, who did they beat? Because I've heard that argument come up elsewhere. I've heard that argument come up for the Hawks with this whole do they need Trae Young? And I've heard it come up like, well, look at who they played. Are y'all really sure that they don't need them? But I haven't heard this come up as much for Detroit. And they're winning 11 games is fire. I don't care who your competition is. You still got to show up and win the 11 games. Let's start it there. But when you talk about the level of competition, I think it's more impressive that they won some of those games in that streak without like their entire starting five, with like a majority of them. I think that was more impressive. But then again, what was the competition too? Like, I think you got to factor it all in if you want to bring total context. But yeah, it's just funny that part of the conversation is being omitted.
The Knicks haven't won 11 or more games in a row, I think, in more than 30 years. So I'm not about to sit here and poo-poo, to your point, Jeff, 11 in a row. The thing with Detroit, and we were texting about this last night, they're legit. But I think to your point, Sean, they're not some super team because a lot of these games are close games and they do go through these stretches where it looks like they just cannot score. But they're one, they're so comfortable playing in those games. And two, the defense is, it's nasty, you know? So they pull out these games a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not poo-pooing the winning streak, but it's now I'm like, people are talking about like, you know,
they're the team to beat in the East.
Yeah, top two seed, the top seed. And I'm like, let's relax because I would like to get my I like to see my team how they get when they play these guys because I'll tell you this. If they think that this year's team is gonna be on the bullshit that last year's Knicks team was, they got another thing coming.
Sean, I hope you're right. How about that?
And I also think that the game against the Magic prepared them for like, okay, we know which teams are going to play us like the Magic played us. Detroit is one of them. We saw Malik Beasley clearing people out on screens like he was freaking, you know, Penei Sewell. So I'm curious to see how they play. But like, I'm not saying they're bad. Let's before we start penciling them into space they shouldn't be. Let's take it down just a touch, a little bit.
We could take it down a touch. All right. That was fun. Let's move on to the topic of the day, which is LeBron James made his season debut last night, his 23rd season debut as an NBA player, which is
insane.
Utterly insane. Had 11 points, 12 assists. I forget how many rebounds. One thing I thought, like, and again, I watched the relevant portion of the game. I don't know that I could have faith in LA's defense. On offense, I thought it looked pretty good. I am curious, though, and I don't know if either of you guys have a thought on this, is like, what would be the... Let's actually all... We could all three answer this. What's our points per game over under for LeBron James? And if you want to do assists per game over under for LeBron James for the rest of the year, is like, I can't imagine LeBron averaging under 20. I would do it at like 20.5 and then assists eight and a half. Let's go 20 and a half and 8.5.
I would take the under.
I was thinking about like 18 and a half, 19 and a half, and I can't do a number that doesn't.
You know what I saw a lot of yesterday when during the game, especially in the first half, LeBron standing in the corner. I saw a lot of that last night.
His first game, though.
What did we talk? I'm just saying, like, now for him to get this, for him to now average us at solid 21 points per game, those points are now coming from somewhere. And now, are we going to Jeff's point? Listen, it's not like people are going to hear me say this and say like, oh, you think Austin Reeves is better than LeBron? That's not the question. That's not the question here.
No.
The question is like, in terms of pecking, scoring, offensive pecking order, like, I don't know. Look, the bet, like, LeBron has shown, we've seen now LeBron can, like, he just can't, he can, every once in a while, he can turn it up and turn it on, but he can't sustain that. He cannot sustain that at the levels he's used to.
No.
Facilitator LeBron. What did LeBron have you say? 11 and 13 assists. If LeBron is facilitator LeBron, then the sky is the limit for this team. However, one, that's LeBron we're talking about here. And two, that number is definitely going under. Like, if you give me 20.5, I'm taking under.
I should look this up. I don't know if there's ever been an NBA team to have a guy average 30 and two guys average 20 that were on the roster for the whole season and played like a commensurate number of games.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Reeves is going to average over 20. I think that's, and I think Luke is clearly, if last night is any indication, Luke is not lessening his shot diet just because LeBron James is back. Jeff, are you taking the under or the over?
You know what? You said 20 and a half.
I said 20 and a half. And else, what did I say? Assists at 8.5.
The half.
Good line. It's a good line,
that's
right?
It's a great line. And I think he's going to get 20 at 8. So I'll go under on both. Like, it'll just miss the hook.
So you think like 20.2?
Yeah. Because knowing me, that's what it would be if I took the over. I won't be a complete coward. I'll go over on the assists because if what I saw last night is trending, not blip. This man was moving at unk speed and his passes were like the Flash. Like dude was on point Showtime at his own pace and finding everybody. And he still has his gravity. And maybe smarter teams and more defensively minded teams might adjust that. But I think he has a good chance to be the facilitator on the team and let Luka be the primary scorer. And he's still going to have a facilitation mindset too. So, yeah, I'll go over on that.
Career high LeBron James assists. He led the league 1 year at 10.2. I completely forgot that he did that.
Oh, yeah.
Other high assist seasons for him, 9.1 a game, 8.7 a game, couple 8.3. So he's been in the range before. I don't think 8.5 is a crazy line. So John.
Real quick. So Austin Reeves is currently averaging 28.1 points per game. I think it's safe to say that won't maintain the rest of the season. So
I would agree.
If you take those 8 points away from Reeves and give them to LeBron, that still puts him at 19.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You know there's going to be games Luka's going to miss because for as much as he's in shape, it's still Luka. Reeves might play, like, he seems to play in games. And LeBron's going to miss games too. I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting. I'll just say that.
Listen, to quote that tweet, that world famous tweet, this fucker won't last much longer. And yes, that was like 12 years ago. But like, at some point, LeBron James is not going to average 20 points a game. At some point,
or will he? And if he does it this year, will he say, "I'm going to go out on"? Not maybe not on top. I mean, we'll see what happens with the Lakers this year. But like, maybe he don't want a Moses Malone it. Maybe he don't want a Kareem it. You know, maybe to bring up a couple guys. Actually, perfect transition. By the way, before we actually get to the next segment, if you are enjoying the show, if you're checking out the show on like Twitter right now or something, do us a favor. Help support the program. Go subscribe to NBA Takedown on YouTube, and if you can follow along wherever you get your podcasts, so you know every time we drop a new pod. Got a lot of great stuff, you know, coming out on all of the different feeds. YouTube, we got the shorts going up on there. Lots of more exciting stuff for NBA Takedown coming up this season. So yeah, support your boys with the show. We have our intern Izzy. She is backstage. I'm going to have her put up a graphic right now in which we are going to see just how far ahead of the pack LeBron James is on one stat in particular, which is very obviously well known. So Izzy, toss up that that graphic, if you will. So we're looking at right here, for anybody listening, the all-time points leaders who are still active. So this is the active leaderboard for most points. LeBron James, obviously, first, 42,195. I am curious, because I was just looking at this today, just looking at some different LeBron stats. If you had to pick one player from this list that you, and I think it's an obvious name, but I did want to ask you guys, to who would pass LeBron at some point before that player retired, who do you think it is? And do you think anyone has a realistic chance? And I'll just say, for anybody who's listening, the closest active player right now is Kevin Durant at 30,882 points. After that, you go down to Harden at 28 and change, Russ at 26 and change, Steph at 25.7 and change. Jeff, do you have a pick?
Out of this current list, we're just saying this current list right here.
And there's one guy who's not on the list who
would you want to pick?
Luka?
No.
Oh, you're going Wemby?
Yeah.
So I thought about that. Is that dude staying healthy enough to score?
That's the question.
2,000 points?
That's the question. Durability might throw it off. But if we're talking about just on this graphic right here, give me Giannis.
That's my pick. I think it's the easy pick. I don't even think there's anybody I don't think Kevin Durant has a shot to play.
He just got to get to enough. That means he's going to have to rack up some more championships. Because this is it. This is all inclusive. This isn't regular season.
No, this is just regular season. LeBron James has scored 42,195 regular season points.
I thought this was all. Wow.
Yeah. He has over 50 when it comes to
right. Okay.
Playoffs.
And still.
Sean, of the names here, I think it's Giannis is the obvious one for you too.
Giannis is the obvious one. The only other person I could see on this list, honestly, would be Steph, simply because I think Steph would Moses Malone his way for like seven more seasons. Like I could see him having the thing and be like, all right, I'm gonna come off the bench and score 12 on 4-6 threes. Like, that's the only other, to your point, it's Giannis. If I had to squint Steph Curry, but even then he's freaking 17,000 points behind this guy who's still playing. Like, the answer should be nobody. But if I had to pick one besides Giannis, I would pick. Actually, you know what? Maybe DeMar would most of his way into fucking, like, you'll be hitting middies when he's 44 years old at 12 minutes a game. But other than that,
I keep trying to tell people, prepare yourself DeMar DeRozan, not only is he going to be a Hall of Famer and get in the Hall of Fame, if he plays long enough and compiles enough points, he might be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
He's going to walk into the Hall of Fame. He's going to piss people off.
It's going to make people very upset. I, for what it's worth, if I had to pick one person, I would actually pick Luka, because Luka's at 13,000 and change already right now. And I think it depends if he wants to play long enough. But
and he's not even at year 10 yet.
Is it year seven?
Seven, exactly. Right?
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. Are you ready for today's activity, which I'm going to attempt to explain right now? We are about to build the It Ain't About You No More Mount Rushmore. So what is the It Ain't About You No More Mount Rushmore? We're going to be deciding the top situations in NBA history where a guy who used to be the man was ushered into a different role or ushered out altogether for someone else. Here are the rules. You had to have played on the same team together at some point. So like the Pelicans trading Anthony Davis once they got the pick that would turn into Zion, that does not qualify for this conversation. There are four categories here, and we're going to pick one situation for each category. The four categories are new kid on the block, which is where someone new, and it has to be someone new and young or young-ish, comes into the team either by draft pick or in some situations a young player who was maybe traded to a team, and then the person who was on that team gets ushered out. Category two, aged out. This is kind of like the gentler of the four categories, or the gentlest of the four categories, where you had an old sage on the team, someone new kind of comes up the ranks, and then that other older player kind of gradually ages into a different role. You have an injury category where this it ain't about you no more happens because someone got hurt. And then we have a wild card category where I put stuff that I couldn't fit into any of the first three categories. All right. Are you guys ready to go through category one entrance?
Yes, sir.
Here we go. All right. So this is new kids on the block. I went in date order, by the way. So I went from oldest to newest. All right. Spurs, David Robinson to Tim Duncan. Warriors, Monta Ellis to Steph Curry. Knicks, Carmelo Anthony to Kristaps Porzingis. Mavs, Dennis Smith Jr. to Luka Doncic. Wolves, Karl-Anthony Towns to Anthony Edwards. Pacers, Malcolm Brogdon to Tyrese Halliburton. Lakers, the thing that inspired this category or this discussion. LeBron James to Luka Doncic. And Sean, did you add this one?
I did.
So this would go before Lakers in terms of time order. But Cavs, Darius Garland to Donovan Mitchell. Mm-hmm. Those are our entrants. I obviously the category we're talking about this today because of LeBron James being kind of ushered out and Luka Doncic being ushered on the way in. I think there are some other ones that like are more famous examples of this. And the one that I actually want to go to first, because it's the one that I always remember the most, is Monta Ellis going out and Steph Curry coming in, because Monta Ellis was a thing in Golden State and people like, I don't know if people our age remember or younger than us, like remember that, but that was the one that I was looking at first.
Yeah. Monta Ellis was so much of a thing to the fan base of the Warriors that their owner is Lake Holmes is the owner, right?
When he was just famously, took over as owner. Yeah.
Famously got booed. He got booed in a ceremony where I guess it was right after the trade, right after the they traded Monta Ellis away.
Yeah, for Andrew Bogut.
And he got booed out the building so much that I think it was, I want to say it was Chris Mullin.
It was Mullin's jersey retirement. That's exactly what it was.
Chris Mullin's jersey retirement.
Yeah.
Mullin had to tell the fans, yo, please chill. Not only are you messing up my night, the owner doesn't deserve this. Give him a chance. Give him a chance. They were booing this man off of the court like no other. I haven't seen that in a professional owner in a minute. You think the Nico Harrison thing is one thing. This was at a retirement ceremony, he's getting booed off. for Monta Ellis. So if anyone tries to tell you, oh, it was an easy decision, there was a lot of debate over it because of Steph's ankles. Like, yes. We didn't know if Steph could. We talk about Wemby and the health question. That was the question with Steph and his ankles. Are his ankles going to be healthy enough for him to be able to have longevity when we have a known quantity in Monta Ellis? Like, it wasn't that crazy back then.
It wasn't crazy at all. And like, what's really nuts about it is like, Steph was, it's not that, you know, Steph like automatic, like just suddenly became Steph in year four. Like, he showed signs of being Steph, obviously showed signs at Davidson. That's why he got drafted where he got drafted. But there was like, it was the injury question mark. And then I just think like there was still the doubt about whether like this little guard could really be like the guy on an NBA team. Not that Monta Ellis was like huge. I don't know. It's like the spirit of this category to me is like, there was like the guy who was there first, like everybody like absolutely loved him. And then it's, you know, you would not have thought that they could have been dispensed with as quickly as they were. So I don't know, Sean, do you have which way do you want to go for this one?
So funny, that was the one I was going to go with. Cause Monta? I remember like anyone who tried to tell you that revises history and tried to tell you it was an easy decision. Like Monta was loved. And to your point, like when I tell people the Warriors used to be the Knicks, that's one of the first examples I go to, including can this small guard be the best player on a championship team? I don't know.
It's fair. Yeah,
I would say that number one. My number two, and I'm glad you included DSJ to Luka. Simply because I don't think we've ever seen a more abrupt case of, I know we told you, but yeah, see this guy over here? Yeah, it was a year,
dude.
And you're like, yeah, we're done here.
Do you remember the year of? I mean, let's just call it like it is Frank's rookie year. Where
Frank who? This is an NBA podcast. Frank who?
Wow.
This is the NBA podcast. This ain't a Knicks podcast.
Yep, that's right. Frank. You're absolutely right. And this player who I'm referring to no longer plays in the NBA. So maybe we should be talking about this on a, where is he playing? I don't
know. Olympiacos legend.
Oh, God. Frank Ntilikina, after every five is a little high. 3 point. 2 assists, 1 rebound. Let's give him 2 steals, be generous. Game. And then we'd be like, you know, Twitter was around back then. So you'd pop up on Twitter and like Dennis Smith Jr. would have one highlight dunk after another and like be dropping dimes. And you would have thought the Mavs had drafted. I mean, you would have thought the Mavs had drafted Derrick Rose. There were some nights, right, with the reaction to Dennis Smith Jr.
You remember the whole what do you call it? The fervor around Bron's comments when he was I would have drafted Dennis Smith Jr. And that's that just set the whole Knicks click industrial conference in a industrial complex in a frenzy.
I never forget that. Yo, that's why I whatever, LeBron. Use this franchise for clout more than anyway. Continue.
Cat to Edward, Karl-Anthony Towns to Anthony Edwards. I guess the bloom was kind of off of the Towns Rose by the time they got the Edwards pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, they were picking that high in the lottery for a reason.
They were picking. That's a very good point. All right, let's. Which way do you want to go? Do you want to go here? Here's our three choices. We all vote on one. LeBron to Luka, which again, that's what the whole thing, the prompt of this exercise. Monta to Steph or DSJ to Luka. Sean, you vote first.
I'll vote Monta to Steph. Although I want to take LeBron to Luka because that is like you're telling arguably the greatest player of all time who can still play. Like, hey. But the Monta to Steph thing, because at the time it was seemed like it was seemed as if like this is nuts. Like, why are we giving up on this guy, Monte, who absolutely nothing, by the way?
Should that be? But maybe that's not in the spirit of the category now that I'm thinking about it. I don't know. I the more we talk about it, there's a part of me that wants to go DSJ to Luka.
Because I see the conspirator category was like, it was all right. It's all about it's literally
all
the,
about you.
Yeah. It's literally it's literally the meme of, you know, holding up the kid in the pool while the other one is like, that wasn't Monte and Steph. That was DSJ and Luka to the T.
I'm glad we talked this. All right, Jeff, what's your vote?
Yeah. That I'm going that way because DSJ that to man Luka? Got erased. Okay. They disappeared that man for Luka. And then they disappeared Luka for years later.
Funny how it's the circle of life. All right, category two, aged out. Okay, so this is like the gentlest of the categories. We're gonna start back in the day. Kareem to Magic. Mm-hmm. And again, it's not that the person in this category, it's not that the person was like ushered out of the team. It's just they took on a different role with the team when the young guy kind of started to come into his own. Sixers, Dr. J / Moses. So we got a 2-for-1 here for Charles Barkley. Indiana Pacers, Reggie Miller to Jermaine O'Neal. That was a thing. Miami, Shaq to Wade. Spurs, Duncan to Kawhi, which is obviously a dicey legacy, but I felt it needed to be entered. Pistons, these are good. Pistons, Dumars to Allen, Houston, Sean, I like it. And then Mavericks, Dirk to Luka. There's an obvious one for me here, but Jeff, I'll go to you first. Where do you want to go with this one?
Is Robinson to Duncan in this category?
So I had Robinson to Duncan in New Kid on the Block.
That's fine. They can occupy multiple, but for ones that are here, I'd say Magic to Kareem. Magic, if I'm not mistaken,
you mean Kareem
rookie
to Magic.
Yeah. Magic Johnson played center in the finals and led that team to victory.
Yes. The spirit of this category though, is the younger player does not usher out the older one right away.
That was a sign.
Yeah.
That this guy, remember, it was him and Bird who sparked that generation of NBA hoops. So there was already high expectations. And the fact that he came in and was able to do that in his rookie season, I think that was a sign like, hey, Kareem, you have help, but we may need you to be a different Kareem in order for us to like reach even higher heights with this current kid.
I like that. So this was my number two, and I like it because Kareem finished as high. He was all NBA first team as late as the 85-86 season. He finished.
Oh, yeah, he was an ageless wonder.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I mean, he was finishing top five in MVP in his age 36, 37, 38 seasons. Obviously, but like by that point, Magic had already taken on. It would be my number two. My number one personally would be Shaq to Wade, because it was almost like that was such a like the conference finals they lost to the Pistons in 2005. It was still Shaq's team. And then by the next year, the finals where they beat Dallas, it was Wade's team. And I like the dichotomy of that. Sean, what are you thinking?
So I actually will go with Duncan to Kawhi.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
I love it.
Because there was like, because it was also like, because Duncan, everyone remembers that. I always remember game 7 against the Heat in 2013, where like it was Duncan one last time reached deep down into the recesses of his soul to pull out that performance, and it just wasn't enough.
It wasn't enough.
And then the next year they win the title, and he like you could not expect him to have that game 7 performance, but it was just like, to me, if you ask me to visualize that that transition, it's that video of LeBron when he sees Kawhi coming back in and goes, damn. Like, because at that point it was like, yo, this guy. But even like in game 7 in 2013, like Kawhi's hitting all these big shots, and I'm like, yo, this, like, they might have a succession plan here. Like, Like for me, it was like to me, the aged out category is like graceful. It's not like we're pushing you out. It's like gradual evolution. And for me, it was because like Shaq was like at the tail end of his prime when Wade started to rise.
That's correct.
Whereas
but so was Tim Kareem was, and so was Duncan.
Duncan was Fat Elvis at that point.
He was Fat Elvis.
What does Fat Elvis mean? Before you say no, what does that mean?
Well, his prime is over.
Okay. Yes. There's prime, and then there's washed.
And then there's
post-prime. And in between is Fat Elvis. And he was in his Fat Elvis stage.
Yeah, but so I think that goes against your argument. If Tim Duncan was in Fat Elvis stage, then it doesn't really fit for It Ain't About You No More because it was already not about him anymore.
But it was still about him.
Hold on. The dude finished 7th in MVP voting in the 2012-13 season. That's the one you're referencing in the finals where Duncan tried to put the team on his back. 7th in MVP, come on.
So, was he still not old?
Yeah, he was old, but he was still fucking awesome.
Well, if that's the qualifier, then that's the qualifier. If you're still freaking awesome. I mean, but he was also like playing 27 minutes a game, and he was kicking the league's rear end every single night.
No one's disputing that. I don't know. Jeff, you're sticking with your vote?
I like my vote, man. I like my vote. I think Magic and Kareem. Because otherwise, I would have said Robinson to Duncan because, boy, I would have loved to not see Duncan in that 99 finals.
You know what?
Because Robinson,
well, yeah.
Robinson held on long enough, saw Duncan and was like, oh, I'm not leaving. We got a good shot here to win the title. Got that. And if I'm not mistaken, he was out of there. I think he retired as a champion or maybe stayed
one more season. 2003. Yeah, he played five more years. And by that point, he stayed
for another presidency. But at that point, he was an ambassador. he was balling out. He didn't even make it to the next Spurs title, did he?
So Robinson retired after the 03 title. He went out as a champion.
Yes. My man was able to vibe for three more seasons.
Four more seasons.
I figured he didn't leave after. I knew he left after one of them championships. Yeah, 03. So he left after 03.
Now you're making me regret putting that in the other category.
No, you couldn't wait two more years for Speedy Claxton in the 05. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it. Yeah. I get it. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out Hofstra.
You already know.
Shout out to Hofstra. Shout out to Union.
The Immortals.
You know what? I'll change my mind. I'll give it to you for Kareem to Magic. I think it's the right answer for this one. It's maybe not the one that is like deepest in my soul, but I think it's the right answer.
Do you know how many titles Magic won about Kareem?
Zero. He was still on the roster those last two?
Yeah. Kareem retired in 89. Like, people forget. He played forever.
But was Vladdy starting for him at the very end, or was that my get?
I don't know. All I know is he was an all-star that year, 41 years old.
Look, people love Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. No, that's the right answer. Okay. Next category. We got to finish up. Injury. Knicks, Bernard King to Patrick Ewing, Magic, Grant Hill to Tracy McGrady. I remember that one so well. Pacers, Danny Granger to Paul George. Don't y'all be sleeping on what Danny Granger used to be.
That is inception right there. Injury inception.
Bulls, Derrick Rose to Jimmy Butler. And then I had to do it. Joel Embiid to Tyrese Maxey. Currently taking place at a theater near you with the Philadelphia 76ers. I am going to go Grant Hill to T-Mac for this one. That's my vote.
So can this really be It Ain't About You No More if it never was about you in the first place? Because from the second Grant Hill set foot in Orlando, he was injured. From like it's never like we saw them running together. Then it was like, and he got hurt. Like it was from off the rip it was when these two played together, we got something, and it just never happened.
Yeah, but the ones that I mentioned, the only guys who ever played together when they were both pre-injury was Embiid and Maxey. Of this list, where both guys were like kind of good, because Paul George was on the roster when Danny Granger was still doing his thing, but he wasn't Paul George yet.
At that time, we saw with Embiid and Maxey, we saw them in a playoff series together, and we saw the literal changing of the guard in that series.
Because
we all left that series like, hey, fuck this other guy. This kid over here, is a problem.
Yes, but the other guy scored 50 points in game three? Whatever the hell. It was insane, whatever he did. Jeff, what are you thinking?
Ooh.
It's a tough one, right?
King to Ewing.
They never played together, but they were on the roster together. Which is why I included it.
Boy, when that draft pick happened, it was no longer about you, brother.
No, it was not.
And it might not have been even if he was able to come back. How are you going to work with Patrick? And which I know fans that were around in the early 80s, and I mean coherent and around, would have loved to see it. Like that was one of the biggest missed opportunities, Jeff, I think, in the history of the Knicks.
Whenever I've done like what if newsletters and stuff, I will inevitably get someone who will ask me about like what if the Knicks kept.
That would have been his second best the second scorer that he needed.
Because people forget he King recovered again to make an all NBA team when I forget how old he was, but it was with the Bullets in like 90 or 91 or something.
Yeah, he should have came home. Granger to Paul George intrigues.
That's a good one, right?
It intrigues me so much.
That's your pick? Okay. We can go with that one.
I'll cast my vote for that.
Okay.
To your point, people forget how good Danny Granger was.
Yeah. It's a shame. Him and my guy, no. Portland.
Brandon Roy.
There you go.
Brandon Roy.
Oh, God.
Danny Granger only one all-time All-Star, but he won Most Improved Player the year he made the All-Star team, averaged 26 points a game. The next year, 24 points a game. That's when they drafted Paul George.
There's the decline. Then the decline happened.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the one we're going for this one. Last but not least, wild card category. Here are our entrants. Raptors. So this, again, these I didn't think fit anywhere else. Raptors, Vince Carter to Chris Bosh. Heat, Dwayne Wade to LeBron James. Knicks, Stoudemire to Melo. Lakers, Pau Gasol to Dwight Howard. That was a thing for a minute. Sean, I put this. Mavs, AD to Cooper Flagg. Brown of reports this morning that the Mavs are looking to potentially trade Anthony Davis. We'll do an episode on that soon. And then my pick, which is just to me, when I thought of this concept for today's show, after I thought of LeBron and Luka, this was the first thing that popped into my head because maybe I'm a little crazy. Jusuf Nurkić to Nikola Jokic, who were drafted the same year, but only Nurkić played in the first year because Jokic had to play a year overseas, and then he came over and
that's a good galaxy brain one. I like this wild card category as like transfer of ownership. You got the keys. You're the captain now type. Because a lot of those categories seem like this was your team. Now this ain't your team anymore.
For Wade to LeBron, yes. Stat to Melo, yes. Nurkić to Jokic, begrudgingly.
Was it his team?
Well, so here's the thing with Nurk. There was a minute there where people looked at Nurkić as like, this guy might be a future all-star. When he first came in, you know?
Organizationally.
Exactly. And then that lasted maybe like half a season. And then we were like, oh no, Jokic is, this guy has the goods.
Because I know him and Murray were drafted same year, correct? And it kind of like came up in...
No, Murray was later. Murray was okay, later. Okay. Yeah, he was.
That I know they like 17, rose 17. To prominence together, which
16,
you know, makes sense. Yes, because
they did. Yes,
Jokic rose and Cream rose to the top with him.
Yeah.
I think there's all these are all pretty valid. There's a part of me that just likes Wade to LeBron because there's. I mean, I don't know what else to say. There was the moment where Dwayne Wade was like, no, this has to be your team. And right. They passed the torch.
It was his franchise, but it was LeBron's team. If that
it
makes
was
sense.
His franchise, but it was.
It was Wade. LeBron had ownership of the Heat in Wade County.
Yes. LeBron, the team, Wade had the streets.
He still paid property taxes to Wade County. Which is why Wade is a Heat for life, and Bron's home is Cleveland.
I was about to say
his home franchise is going to be Cleveland, but it's going to be like Shaq. You know what I mean? But in a sense that Cleveland's retiring his number, the Lakers are going to retire his number, the Heat should retire his number.
They will.
They're going to. But I think his it's going to be like real life. His main home is going to be Cleveland. His second home is going to be in L.A.
Shaq is worse because Shaq doesn't really have a capital H home because he never won a championship with Orlando. L.A., it's Kobe, and Miami, it's Wade. LeBron at least has Cleveland. Right?
Yeah, no, Cleveland for sure.
LeBron definitely has Cleveland.
Yeah. So I don't... Do you want to go with Wade to LeBron for this category?
I would rock that unless, Sean, you feel... different.
I actually will vote Stat over Stat and Mello.
Really?
In the sense of what Jeff said, like this is the I'm the captain now moment because Stat was the king of New York for about 6 months. He signed in July. The Knicks are back.
Oh, you're going back to then? Okay.
The Knicks are back. And then
after All-Star.
And then, after that, it was like, now that's the meme of like you holding up Mello while Sotomayor is like going like this, whatever. And then it
didn't help that his knee turned into Mugu Guy Pan.
Yeah.
Last thing, and then we're going to add here. Are we shortchanging AD to Cooper Flagg given everything we've been talking about for literally the last few weeks on the show where they traded the franchise for Davis and that
he didn't want that shit. He didn't ask for that. I'm not going to, it's begrudgingly.
Yes. But how did those, it lasted a literal quarter, but how did those Mavs fans react when Davis was kicking the shit out of the Rockets for that? Again, it was 15 minutes in that one game last season. They were
cocaine,
all in.
Fentanyl, hopium, top three controlled substances. Meth, honorable mention.
He's right. Hopium's a hell of a drug. At that point, imagine if we traded Jalen Brunson for...
I don't want to imagine that.
Drew Holiday because defense wins championship. And then for a quarter, Drew Holiday has 15 points, three steals, a whatever, block, yeah. And he's just like locking up. And we Madison Square Garden would be going insane. And then he'd roll his ankle and then be like, oh.
Right. That isn't even a fair comp because it would be like if Jalen Brunson was A, drafted by the Knicks, B, a few years younger, and it would like Leon Rose would have gotten fired for I don't know who and some
year.
Yeah. But man, I feel bad for Mavs fans. That's all I'm coming away from this episode thinking about. Okay. Before we get out of here, we're going to introduce a new segment on the show that we're going to do on Wednesdays. We are bringing, our intern, Izzy, up on the stage. Wait, hold on. Let's get over to fourth. Okay. Hi, Izzy. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Good. How are we?
I don't know. You tell us. So your purpose of ending the show is to give us something that you like, something you didn't like, something we screwed up, something from a comment, anything you want.
Love the takes. Good. A little bit spicy, as always, but, you know, that's what makes it fun. There's a comment here that says, future take on this, best NBA transitions. For example, Kareem to Magic, the Admiral to Timmy, etc.
Ooh, the best transitions. The best transition.
A seamless transfer of power.
I would. So I think for this one, for something to qualify, someone would have a team would have needed to win a championship before the transfer of power and after the transfer of power. Is Duncan to Kawhi? Duncan to Kawhi is the only
Wade to Braun.
Oh, yeah, but that was so artificial. I'm sorry, but it was.
I hear you.
I mean, why? Fuck Miami.
Fuck Miami. You won't get no pushback from me on that. All right.
No. You know what the right? Hold on. You know what the right answer is? Pick a Celtics team from. No, yeah, seriously. Yeah,
You're right. You're right. It's just like
Hondo. You know what it is? It's Russell. I can't believe we're talking about Bill Russell and John Havlicek to end this fucking show. But that's the right answer. Is Bill Russell won however many championships he won with Boston, and then Havlicek led them to what was part of those teams, and then he was the best player on a team that won a few more, give or take a Dave Collins. I think that's the answer. That's a good. Sure. That's a good question, though.
It's a good question.
I'm glad you agree, Izzy. All right. Thank you for that. And before we get out of here, I will just say again to everybody watching that may be watching on Twitter, if you dig the show, if you dig the vibes, if you dig the conversation, if you dig us, go ahead, subscribe on YouTube. NBA Takedown is the name of the show. I'm going to start trying to put some stuff on that YouTube channel that maybe is not directly from the episodes. Maybe have some short form content that is directly for the YouTube channel. So subscribe there. And then obviously wherever you get your podcasts, that's the way that you could help us out the most. Follow NBA Takedown, whether it's on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your pods. Jeff, anything before we go?
Nah, I'm good to go. Great episode. Awesome, awesome categories, man. I like these thought exercises. It brings some spice to NBA life.
When you sit around all day thinking about nothing but NBA basketball, this is the shit that you come up with. So
I love it.
There you go. Sean, last word.
Shout out to Cameron Brink and Rekia Jackson, who should run for something in 2028. I love this shirt, and when I was planning to wear this shirt when the Sparks were gonna play the Liberty at Barclays, and but Cameron Brink tore ACL, so that was that. So shout out to them. Shout out to WNBA.
Shout out to WNBA, which I love so much. And on that note, thanks to everybody, and congrats, Izzy, you made your on-screen debut.
Hey,
what a thrill awesome. This must have been for you.
Always.
We'll see everybody on Friday's show live at noon. Dexter Henry's coming on. Be there, be square. Talk to you later. Peace out.